for this entire weekend, our entire Christmas season, in fact, at ABF is the journey. Now, when most of us think of journey, a lot of us think of this. Admit you like the pagan music. It's fine. Just it's fine. Don't stop believing. If you're a big car dork like me, your mind immediately wanders to this. That's right. This glorious hunk of rolling steel is a 2018 Dodge Journey, shown here in a color called Contusion Blue. I am not making that up. That is the color of that car. It says so on the internet. Contusion Blue. So bad Chrysler jokes aside, what images come to mind when one considers a journey? When I think of a journey in the movies, I think of Dorothy going down the yellow brick road. I think of Sam and Frodo, although I do think they should have led with the eagles. Would have made the whole thing a lot faster. Just me. I mean, even these bozos went on an epic journey, okay? A journey is a lot more than just getting from point A to point B. One does not go on a journey to the market or the gas station. A little bit later this month, we're going to drive up to Central Oregon to visit Grandma and Grandpa. It's just a road trip. It's a lot of sitting. It's gas stations. It's not a journey, okay? A true journey involves the mind, the body, and the spirit. It forever changes a person. The people who played a role in the first Christmas each went on their own journeys. For some, it did involve a physical trip. For others, their Christmas journey happened within the mind. So consider Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah. Luke chapter 1 tells us that Zechariah and Elizabeth were a righteous couple. They followed the Lord's commands. They were advanced in years, and they were childless. Now, in that culture and time, the inability to have children was attached to a lot of shame. In some cases, childlessness was even seen as a punishment from God. It should be noted that everywhere else in the New Testament, there's a completely different picture that's painted, honoring those who are single, honoring the childless. But at the time, those stigmas were pervasive. Zechariah was a priest at the temple in Jerusalem, and one day as he was working, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that he and his wife would have a son, even in their advanced age, and that he would prepare the way for the Messiah. This child became who we now know as John the Baptist, who would someday baptize Jesus Christ and announce the beginning of his earthly ministry. So as we consider the idea of a Christmas journey within the mind, let us consider the wildly opposite reactions that Zechariah and Elizabeth had to this news. Zechariah immediately begins putting his foot into his mouth. Luke 1:18 has him saying, "Well, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Dude is literally mansplaining to the archangel of heaven. It's not his best look, okay? Gabriel's response is pretty great. He says, "I am Gabriel." You can almost see him like, "What? Who am I?" "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And Scripture records that he was rendered unable to speak. Now, contrast that with his wife Elizabeth. One can only assume that Zechariah had to write down what happened to him, but when Elizabeth conceived a child, she simply said, "Thus, the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." So I can't help but wonder how each of us might respond to this kind of good news, news that calms our fears and kindles our hope. I fear that some of us are like Zechariah, unfortunately. Our minds like cramp up and we immediately begin trying to explain away a gift from God. I can't help but wonder if the angels are still up there in heaven sort of rolling their eyes and asking, "Hey, Lord, you want me to shut this guy up? No, not this time? All right, cool. That's just me." But if you look at Elizabeth, her mind received this good news. She had not been embittered by years of scorn and sideways glances. She knew who she was and who God was. She didn't need a rational answer. All through her life's journey, she simply says, "God has seen me." So it turns out Elizabeth had a relative named Mary. Mary, who herself received a visit from the angel. Mary, who herself had a miraculous conception. You know who believed Mary's story? It wasn't Joseph. Remember? He had to have a visit from the angel in a dream to be convinced of the truth. It was Elizabeth. Elizabeth, she of the open mind, was the one who got it immediately. Luke 1, 39 through 42 says this. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." It's our sincere prayer that as we experience these songs and the warmth of this fellowship, that our minds would open to the possibility that perhaps, just perhaps, our deepest fears might be calmed with the coming of this infant king, this Jesus, our Emmanuel.